Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 113 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin has a lively and candid discussion with Chris Lee, MD of virtual online PR and social media freelance network Planet Content. And they're talking about SlideShare, all coming up in Internet Marketing.
I'm joined in our little studio down here in Brighton today by Chris Lee of Planet Content. Some of you might know him as a fellow podcaster. We've done a bit of, friend of the show, as it were. So I've been on your show. We did the podcasting event together. You know, the good world of podcasting, doing a bit of collaboration there. So we're going to have a bit of chat today, Chris, about SlideShare. And I know that's an area that you've been looking into and exploring. So for people who might not be familiar with SlideShare, what's the concept behind it and, you know, how would they start?
Very simple. In a nutshell, SlideShare.net is a presentation sharing website which enables companies to upload their PowerPoint presentations or Keynote for Mac users, Word documents, etc., and share them with the world. So it's an excellent way to showcase your intellectual property. I've heard it described as YouTube for PowerPoint. So you have a profile page, you can embed those presentations and share them on other social networks such as LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. So, but I believe personally it's more or less a business-to-business tool. I know you disagree. So I'd advise if you are, you know, targeting consumers, you probably should fast forward to the Q&A at the end, but you have a different view on that, don't you?
I mean, I think that, so essentially SlideShare, it's there. If you've got a PowerPoint, and the way it's sort of started out, I suppose, is a bit like a, I've done a presentation at a conference, I want to share that presentation that I've spent my time on, on a public thing. But also, to a certain extent, what's interesting about it now is it started gaining popularity. There's some almost SlideShare create, because I've done it, I've done like ones that, presentations I've never delivered, but I've created specifically for SlideShare, and the kind of format you choose is slightly different as a consequence of
It would have to be, wouldn't it? Because you're you know, unless you add audio to it, which we'll talk about in a minute, you don't have the same context as you do if you're performing live. Because I know that your presentations are very word light, aren't they? You like to talk more and then use them as a, you know, presentation as a prop. A lot of people will go to SlideShare.net to sort of research subjects and find suppliers. It's a relatively unglamorous tool in the social media armory. I sort of compare it to a holding midfielder for any sort of you know, football fans or soccer fans out there, for North American listeners. It's quietly effective, like David Batty or Didier Deschamps, you know, the Potter do water carrier. But SlideShare fits into the whole content marketing model. So I mean, I'm a big believer in content marketing. In essence, linking all your PR and SEO activity into the sort of creation, seeding, and sharing of compelling, optimized content. And that's why I named my company Planet Content, because, you know, it's all about the content nowadays. But by content, we're talking about video, audio, such as podcasts, blogs, how-to guides, pictures, and, of course, PowerPoint presentations is a big part of that. So you were in the audience for me at Surge Engine Strategies last month, weren't you, Kelvin, with Lee Oden from Top Rank Marketing. He's one of the leading thinkers in content marketing, and he was speaking. So he focuses on this hub and spoke approach to content marketing. So your hub being your company website. So imagine that's the center of all you do, and all the spokes being your various social media activity. So, and other online publishing activity. So in a nutshell, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter activity, and your online coverage on other published sites such as newspapers, websites, and all that sort of business. So whether you're doing your traditional PR that sort of links onto sort of online sites, So it's all linking back to your site. It's being shared and being talked about, and all the while it's pushing up your domain, hopefully up search rankings and generating online buzz. Yeah. So it's one of those very useful spokes is SlideShare. So I'll just sort of go over the stats of SlideShare, who's using it.
It's interesting to know kind of what the audience is. Because, yeah, I know I mentioned the kind of the difference between... Because generally, because PowerPoints are the type of thing you do to another business, it's seen as very much B2B. And we've done a few experiments with doing it for some of our consumer clients. So I'm interested to hear kind of what the stats are and how they talk about, you know, who is the users of the site.
No, exactly. Well, according to Alexa, anyway, the first bit.
Yeah.
Traffic's sort of grown steadily. It's now in the top 300 in the world. So the main user base is 25 to 45.
Okay.
Surfing even from home or work. Okay. Most of them are degree level educated.
Okay.
So you're looking at a professional, highly educated audience, and it's a Google PageRank of 8.
Okay.
So pretty strong. So some other stats I found from Quantcast, and this is November 2009, it's the most recent I could find. So probably
gone quite significantly up from there.
Yeah, I imagine it has. So it's 293rd at that point, most popular site on the internet.
Okay.
28 million unique users visitors a month, 88 million pages viewed a month. So you're looking at 50% of these people being managers, directors, or C-level executives with significant purchasing influence.
So for a B2B audience, they're the people who are going to be making the decisions whether to buy that product or service or not from that
this
point of view.
Yeah. And 50,000 slideshows uploaded every week. So it's quite a lot of content going up there. So the average time spent on that site is 8 minutes, and the average is 20 slides visited per visit. But here's the downside.
Yeah.
You've got to be really targeted. Depends where you're active.
Yeah.
Because of that 28 million odd audience, only 3.7% from the UK, which if you do the maths, isn't a huge amount.
Yeah. It's interesting then. So, because, I mean, this is from my experience of SlideShare, is that what, and I don't know if this is just kind of politically, because the company, although based in Silicon Valley, has a kind of, an offshore development.
Sure.
So it's a kind of, although formed in the Valley, they're not kind of, it's not full of engineers in the Silicon Valley like Google are.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does seem to have this kind of connection to that, you know, those kind of, you know, tiger states or however they refer to them, you know, the fast growing technical, India and China and that kind of thing. There does seem to have a connection. Do you think that's kind of where the audience is or is it just spread all over the world?
It seems to be spread all over the world, but those are the technical, technically sort of enabled countries, the forward thinking ones. I mean, USA, as you'd expect, 16.6% of their traffic is from there. So India, 12.1%. I imagine that's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So, Mexico's third with 5.1%, and then Spain and Germany pretty much around the same thing. Brazil, of course, the up and coming technical.
Yeah, that's very
superpower.
Much so. Yeah, yeah.
And China, surprisingly. Yeah. So they're allowed to look at SlideShare, which is nice. Now, I mean, what that means, obviously, if you're running a global business, and especially
that's
if you're talking to USA and
reach,
India,
isn't it? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, English and Spanish language markets, basically, and Germany and Brazil as well. So, but the UK, 3.7%. That's where I imagine most of your audience is listening in from. Like I said at the beginning, it's a very niche sort of part of it, but it's a nice to have. I think it's almost like conspicuous absence not to, because there's so many presentations that we're doing. The whole idea is to be seen and be shared, I suppose, and that's the point. I mean, you use SlideShare yourself, haven't you?
And I mean, I think the way that I've always used it is that whether you're looking at promoting a business online, particularly a B2B business online, it's all about kind of thought leadership, and that can be, you could be doing that for a number of different reasons. You might be doing it because thought leadership gets you speaking slots, which gets you opportunities to be in front of customers, and therefore they come through to you, from meeting you. It can be because you're seen as a thought leading expert, you get quoted in the press, or when you make your pitch to be, featured in the press, you've kind of got the, well, look, I've got this, credibility behind my thinking. Or, quite often it's you're creating something that you want to get shared on Twitter, or you're, creating something that you think, so I talk a bit, on the show about, engaging pieces of content as being really important in any link building campaign. So you need something for people to link to rather than just your website.
Right.
And, sometimes that might be a podcast. Sometimes that might be a blog post. Sometimes that might be, an infographic, but actually a white paper. But I think a lot of the time, actually, if you're already producing PowerPoints, be it for an internal use or be it for a conference and external use, with a bit of tweaking, you can turn that into a piece of content that works really well on Slideshow. Because although most people tend to do it where it's just straightforward, you upload your PowerPoint and you know just set it live, you can do sound in that as well, can't you?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, have you had much experience of doing it with the sound, or is it, or have you generally stuck to those kind of slides rather than...
I've gone the dry narrative route, I must say, but I mean, I've been, you know, just looking around. I mean, I'm coming on to site to adding the sound bit in a minute, actually, when we cover best practice. Yeah. But I mean, just going back to what you said about, you know, there's a lot of not reinventing the wheel-ness about social media, because there are, you know, you're producing all this different kind of content out there anyway, like you said. So don't just, you know, don't draw
save
anything
it on your hard drive and do nothing with it.
Use it, you know. Yeah. It takes no time at all to set up a SlideShare account and personalize it for your business. And then of course they give you, like with any YouTube video for example, you can embed it in your blog, so you've got another piece of content you can share with people. So, you know, don't reinvent the wheel, and do use what you assets can, I suppose. It's a digital asset, isn't it?
You can get some pretty decent traffic from it, because I mean I've done some. I'll be honest, I went through a glut of doing it probably about 18 months or so. And I got 3 or 4 that went really, really well over a fairly short period of time. And most of them did sort of 1,800. A couple got up to like 4,000 or 5,000 views, which, you know, if I compare that to a blog post that I do, does very, very well. And also, I don't, maybe it's because I'm used to kind of podcasting as a means of communicating and therefore PowerPoints and that, you know, I like webs, you know, there's, you know, concepts of how to do PowerPoint, like Presentation Zen by Gail Reynolds, is a book and a website that's worth checking out.
Okay.
And because I'm kind of a fan of that, I kind of quite like the idea that sometimes I feel that if I've got a complex idea, I would probably feel a bit better communicating that in a PowerPoint, in a good PowerPoint, because I know some PowerPoint's absolutely terrible.
Yes.
But like a good PowerPoint can actually be better at communicating an argument or a viewpoint or a process than you ever could with a blog post, I think. You know, I think there's certain kind of, you know,
There's
people
a lot
that can communicate quite well in that.
There's a lot to be said for the visual aspect.
Yeah.
You know, we're podcasters here, and I wax lyrical all the time, as you do, about the value of the spoken word.
Yeah.
And the visual word as well just adds even more context. So here's your chance to demonstrate, you know, your particular product, service, or you know, ideas, and talk over the top of it, and add some context to it. So it's not just like a dry presentation, because a lot of people go there, let's face it, go to SlideShare, nick ideas, and get inspiration.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. It's a risk you take, really. You're sharing your content with the world, and like you said, if you can check on your Google Analytics and see what kind of hits you're getting via SlideShare, you know, then it can reap dividends as an extra spoke in that that content marketing wheel. So I was hoping to sort of hit off on some best practice.
I'm interested to know on what's the, what, you know, if you are, you know, if you've never used SlideShare before, you've used it, you've never really you know, gone out and done much with it, you've listened to this, you've gone, okay, I really ought to, you know, explore this, what's some of the things we ought to be doing as listeners to kind of, you
well know? as with many things in social media, it's free to set up, at least unless you want the pro version with all the bells and whistles, but you know, again, it's time investment. But then again, you've already spent that time creating that content elsewhere. So all you're doing really is adding extra value to what you've already got. Unless you've obviously gone about thinking, right, specifically, I want this to go on SlideShare.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it known via other channels that this is out there. Mm. So obviously, the better the content, the more likely it is to be read and digested, you know, mentally and metaphorically, not physically.
Yeah.
One would hope, anyway. Yeah. Like, shared and embedded elsewhere, basically. So same principle as ever, make useful, non-salesy. That's important. You know, selling is repelling was an excellent phrase I heard on another podcast, a rival podcast. And I think that is true for social media. If you're trying to sell, then forget it. You're going to get unfollowed on Twitter, unfriended on Facebook, all that sort of business. So you want educational content, right? So create a narrative.
Yeah.
So remember, when you're presenting live, you're speaking over the top of the slides to give it context. So on the SlideShare, though, you're not adding that voice unless you actually use a tool called Slidecast, right? So you're basically more or less recording an MP3 to
sort of go with
the topic, to go over it. Yeah, exactly. So it's very simple. You can find it on SlideShare, and what you do is there's a timeline. You can sync up the audio to match the slide. So obviously the same with any podcast. Make sure you're using high quality microphone and editing suite to go with that. So a good story is a piece of creative content people want to share with one another, and obviously something you can embed elsewhere. And if they're sharing it, then they're doing the legwork for you. And yeah. That's obviously what you want to do. And obviously then you've got the challenge of maximizing that exposure.
Yeah.
So obviously it goes back to keyword best practice.
Yeah.
So think about how you're describing that particular.
Yeah.
Not only, well, on your own profile on your slideshare.net page. And then obviously the product and service you're, whatever it happens to be in your particular presentation.
And it's got kind of a categorization as well. So I imagine your choice in the categories has a part to play. Because if people are going there to, you know, find inspiration, they might type in a keyword of the topic they're looking for, but they might kind of go through that navigation process. No, exactly. So you want to be in the right sort of category.
Yeah, make sure that's common sense, really. Yeah. But like you said, common sense ain't that common. So you've got to look for these things. I'll also, one other thing to think about is the longer tail terms.
Okay.
So like how to use Twitter for business, for example, or tips in using Twitter for business, the things that people are going to type in.
Yeah.
Because that, like you said, we have 50,000 uploaded every week.
Week, so that's a lot of content there to cut through the clutter, yeah.
I mean, if you do appear on the... on the sort of, you'll notice as soon as you put a piece of a presentation up there, you'll get a lot of instant hits. And then you sort of like, you know, you'll end up getting less and less as it goes on. And often because you've had some exposure early on the front page and then it drops off. And there are tricks to staying on that front page.
I've talked about one of these that I've used before. So that it's a bit like, you know, like Dig used to be, that if you can get on the homepage there, you'll then, because if you don't get that exposure on the homepage, it's still a really good thing to do because people might search, they might find you. If you're embedding it on your website, you'll get some views from there, and it might be that someone else embeds it on their website.
Mm.
But if you really want to kind of hit those big numbers, it's all about kind of getting on that homepage and then getting the people who are just browsing.
No, exactly.
And the way that I was doing this, and I imagine there's other tips, and you know, there's those that are featured, so that's kind of an editorial section, I think, isn't there? And then there's like hot on Facebook, hot on Twitter. Yeah, and I mean, this is the one thing that it's a simple thing that makes a huge amount of difference, right, to the, you know, the success I've seen. Is if you share your blog post that's got it embedded, SlideShare don't notice.
Yes.
But if you like share the SlideShare, is that one of the things you're going to say on that one? Yeah,
So, I mean, basically make sure you direct that back to SlideShare rather than your own site, and then SlideShare will like it more and you'll sit on that front page for a bit longer.
Yeah, so share the SlideShare URL rather than your URL if you wanted to try and hit that homepage. I think it's a good one.
Exactly.
And I suppose that's similar, is it, for Facebook, did you think, in terms of, you know, it's just that kind of... If you've got good content, people want to share it, and that'll get you more exposure. Yeah.
I've got a theory anyway about content life cycles.
Okay.
Which I'm going to blog about. I was thinking about this on the way down, actually.
Yeah.
The way that it changes, the nature of the content and the value of the content changes. So immediately from a blog post or an article, whatever happens to be, immediately, and it hits those various networks that you're talking about, it's a piece of thought leadership. And then obviously... You'll notice this in any sort of, you know, bit.ly that you follow of any particular blog post. You'll see on the first day you went live with it, it's all novel and new and everyone loves it, and it's got some really good hits.
Yeah.
The next day, even if you tweet it again, you'll probably find you've got like 25% of those hits, and then it drops down. So then it becomes, depending obviously if it's optimized, a piece of SEO content rather than a piece of thought leadership.
Yeah.
So, they've got a theory about content within, you know, and it's particular... life cycle. I'm going to blog about that later. But one thing I would say about this is it really depends on the time when you post.
Yeah.
I find people are really active on Twitter usually in the morning.
Yeah.
For example, if you want some traction and you want to post a presentation, which surprised me actually, because I think a lot of people, if they're looking in the workplace, the mornings when you've got to get head down and do all sorts of things, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just people procrastinating in the morning, and in the afternoon they've got to get it done, so then they get knuckled down then.
And Monday to Thursday is always good for that, and Friday, forget it. No one's really paying attention. No one wants to read a PowerPoint presentation.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
No. On a Friday, probably. So, unless they're really keen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is one of the things you've got to think about, what particular time zone that your audience is in and what sort of mindset they're going to be in at that time frame. So, you know, obviously you encourage your friends and colleagues to retweet and all that sort of business and push people towards that content. So, you can get a Facebook app and a LinkedIn app.
Okay.
So, you can, like, sync your uploads and display them on your site. You know,
yeah,
you can
I've done that to LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is all with the free model. The pro model you have to pay $19 a month with. So, you get all other stuff like analytics and that sort of business. But
yeah,
you've probably got your own setup anyway.
Looks quite exciting, doesn't it? The kind of, so there, and it's. I think this is a good, you know, for people looking at how to do a freemium model. The way that they, you know, so it's you know, 99% of what you'd want to use it for is absolutely free, but the 1% that really would make a huge amount of difference they charge for, because it's the kind of, it like puts a capture form so you can get their email, isn't it? So if you want their email address, you know, you have to pay for it. And I think that's a clever sort of like monetization method they've got there. I've not really experimented with. I don't know many people who have, really.
No, but, I didn't think I'd pay for it myself. I mean, you know, it depends on your nature of the business. If you really think you're going to get that much value out of SlideShare. But also, I mean, the other thing, just basic common sense, is with anything with social media, you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
So you probably engage with the SlideShare community a lot more. Leave comments and favourite other people's content. Because obviously, I mean, not obviously, I suppose, unless you're not used to SlideShare, but similar to any other, like with YouTube, you get to sort of favourite things and leave comments and things like that. So there's other things like sponsored feeds and things like this, but that's only if you really want to go sort of mad into it. Right. So, I mean, I one of the sites I write for is New Media Knowledge at nmk.co.uk, quick plug. It's University of Westminster's digital marketing resource. And basically, one of those interviews I recently conducted was with a guy called James Watley. He's from a word-of-mouth marketing agency called 1000 Heads. And I spoke to him about SlideShare marketing because it's something that they've used themselves. I mean, I use it as well. Notice I was getting, like, I got like 1000 hits or something, one of my presentations in the first week, and then it kind of, you know, over the next year only got like 800.
Yeah.
I wasn't really pushing it, to be fair.
Yeah.
He had sort of five top tips here. Yeah. And first one was research.
Yeah.
Go and look around the site. So who's doing well, who isn't, what in your eyes makes a good presentation.
Yeah.
So what decks in your company do you already have that are shareable? So again, it goes back to what we're talking about, like reuse your content. You know, you've got all that sort of, cash in the attic almost.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you've invested the time in it already and then it's a small amount of time, either just to upload it or even just make a few edits so it's a little bit more suitable, a little bit more publicly, you know, because there might be bits on there that don't really work in a kind of, you don't, you know, I've seen, in fact, actually there's a conference that was on a couple of weeks ago in an SEO conference called ThinkViz. And yeah, there were people who were like, well, I want to share this bit, but only with 100 people in the room. And then they do like a sanitized version with the juicy bits taken out afterwards, because sometimes there's bits like that you might not want for thousands of people to see, but you don't mind saying in a room full of, you know, 50 people or whatever. Yeah,
I suppose. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about, sharing events. Presentation was your second. If you're speaking at events, so it's like common best practice to have your slides available anyway to download within 24 hours, and obviously then you've got to tailor it accordingly, because like we mentioned before, it's like what's the context? If people weren't there at your show, they're not going to know what this blank slide with a few words is going to be on, you know.
Yeah, there's a great stunt. Well, stunt maybe is a little bit of a disservice, but Anthony Mayfield, who we've interviewed previously on the podcast, and actually we're going out for a drink with tonight.
We are indeed, yes.
I've seen him do this, I think, twice now. He's doing a lot at the moment about productivity and that kind of thing. And of course, because you've got your slides already sorted, and on WordPress you can schedule it to go live and all this type of thing. But he kind of goes up on stage with his phone out, so you know, he's just published it now, and at the start of the, you know, start of the presentation, like, oh well, I've got my, you know, my slides are now live on my blog, so you know, and he gets that pitch in for it straight away, because that's really good as well. Because if you are at an event, the main people who are going to want to share that are the people who perhaps already saw it the first time round. So if you can, I think that's quite a good way of doing it. Rather than waiting until afterwards, the people already know that the slides are available online. So then when they're doing their roundup posts, if that's the type of event that you're putting, you know, you're getting involved in, they already know it's there. So it's already in their head when they're doing their roundup one. It's like, oh, well, you know, I know Chris's presentation slides are on there. That's a great bit of content I can drop into my roundup of day two of SES or whatever it
Roundups are fine. At this point, I turn off Twitter, actually, to be honest, and I get the same updates from, like, I know about 20 people in that same presentation, and they're all tweeting the same.
Yeah.
It's like 20 John Motsons in the room. Like, you know. That's a football commentator again. Sorry. Point number three.
Yeah.
Is branding. So this is an obvious one, but obviously missed. Yeah. Often missed. But so, you know, if your site visibility, and I imagine that your URL there is
sitevisibility.co.net. I've done it under my personal brand.
So have you?
Well, just because it's only because it's. I suppose it depends how you want to do it.
Mm.
Because content-wise and probably presentation-wise, I'm quite different to some of the other employees in the company. So, you know, so might talk about different topics.
Yes, sure.
But then that is reconcilable if you do different things. But particularly, like, because you've talked about, 90% of you, probably even more of that, have never seen me do a presentation. But when I do, they're all great big pictures and great big fonts.
Yeah.
And that's very different to someone who's done kind of a conventional PowerPoint. It's still got very good information in it. But then it looks a bit odd if you've kind of got that jumping around. So I've always just done them under slideshare.net/, I think, Kelvin Newman, all one word, rather than Kelvin.Newman or Kelvin-Newman or anything. But that kind of putting them all under one brand is a good idea to think about, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that what you were suggesting?
Well, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's what mine is, slideshare.net/planet content.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if someone's Googling my company name, it will come up on, you know, and the same as anyone, really. They can see that when they're checking out your company that you've got this presence. You look intelligible.
And that's good, isn't it? Because that's the type of thing that would appear on a branded search, isn't it? It's these kind of social network sites. And if it's a B2B environment, that makes perfect sense for them to kind of have a look through, you know, do they know what they're talking about?
Well, exactly, thought leadership. And that is, again, you're doing half the sales pitch, you know, for them.
Mm.
I know you use, you know, like this podcast for you, in a way, is demonstrating your thought leadership.
Yeah.
So people come to Site Visibility and they already feel like they know you.
Yeah.
And it's similar with, you know, LinkedIn. LinkedIn? What am I talking about? Slideshare, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? But there you go. And then the second one, obviously, is... the fourth top
fourth
tip
on the
of the five. We're almost there. Is embed it. Yeah. So I mean, if you already, you know, it gives you the HTML code. Just copy and paste it. Put it in your blog, and obviously the people will have an RSS to that that may not have it to or SlideShare.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're getting access to your, you know, this is basically reaching new audiences or ones that wouldn't necessarily have found you or knew that you were active on SlideShare. And also it makes good talking points. You can then talk around that presentation, what was the inspiration behind it, and all that sort of stuff that you can't go into actually on the presentation itself.
Yeah.
So then five, you know, invest. So like we mentioned before, so you get in what you get out, you get out what you put in. It's anything to do with social media. So, you know, how are you going to use SlideShare? You can use it just to host your content and just to be seen to be doing it, or are you going to get really active and see what kind of response you can get from it, from other users? You know, and if you want to invest time building your network over SlideShare, you probably could do that as well. I mean, there's some other benefits I thought that I would sort of mention.
Mm.
We haven't really talked about the search benefits of it.
No.
A high page rank, and obviously people searching for a longer tail, I imagine. You know more about search than me, so you'll be able to answer this one.
Yeah, I mean, because we've used it, and you know, so this is kind of touching on that topic. I was talking about using it from B2C environments.
Right.
Now, the way we've used it is, now, the links from SlideShare are no followed in pretty much every circumstance, which means that those... So if you've never heard me talk about the phrase no follow before, essentially this is the euphemism that's kind of... that I think is the best way of describing it is the link condom, as it were. So the idea is that, like, none of the trust is being passed between the two links, as
right,
it were.
Yeah,
that's pretty so that means that if you do put some content up on SlideShare, it might not necessarily help you from a link building perspective. But there are two reasons it will, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to generate attention, and positive attention is going to lead to links at some point down the line.
Sure.
And that's where kind of it's a social media thing. The more social media attention you have, the better you are at social media. It tends to be indirectly the better you become a SEO, because, you know, the more notable you are, the more people are going to link to you.
Mm.
But the way we've been using it, kind of, and this is where it's worked on a consumer environment, is where... those SlideShare pages, if the title that you've gone for, and you were talking about kind of thinking about how people are searching for content,
yeah,
sometimes can rank quite well in their own right,
right,
as it were. So sometimes if you want to rank for a key phrase, you could put some content on your site, or you could put some content on YouTube or on SlideShare or on, you know, LinkedIn. And the link, because there's the trust in that domain, Google sees that content as worth ranking. Right. So it's almost kind of an indirect SEO tactic where, so you're not trying to rank your site, you're trying to rank another site. But once someone's on that page, they should hopefully be able to find the connection back to your site again. So
hidden benefits.
Yeah. And so it's kind of about, so you're getting the traffic on to SlideShare, but because that, you know, it's well branded, you've got your calls to action that taken through to your website, you're getting the traffic anyway. Because, you know, that's all you're really doing anyway on a normal site, is you get them on the content page, and then they've got to make one click and they then go to the page where, you know, the contact information is.
Sure.
So it's not really any different from that. So that's the way we've used it. And that can work quite well from a B2C perspective, because you go, okay, well, maybe, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, so clients sometimes are scared to do video, but it's very easy to kind of produce a PowerPoint in, you know, it's much easier to produce than that. So we've done ones like almost, you know, for like travel destinations. So maybe places to visit, or like 20 amazing photos from, or, you know, that type of thing.
As a SlideShare
presentation. Which is almost like, and you see that, like, you get it on like the national newspapers, that, don't you? Where it's like the SlideShare of, you know, 20 photos from the Wimbledon final, or that type of thing. And it's just almost like a means of using the content like that. So the difference there isn't the audience on SlideShare for it. So the people on SlideShare aren't going to like and share that. However, you can put that content there, and if somehow or form you can get that to rank, or you can send some traffic to it from Twitter or somewhere, that then people start to share it within their community. It can work, but like you say, it's more complex and not as obvious approach.
No, but I mean, the other things that probably SlideShare is good for, aside from that, is you know, a lot of companies have a product or service that needs some explaining.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like justifying yourself.
Yeah.
It's a chance to, you know, direct. If it saves you, basically, if you can direct someone to a piece of content, it saves you having to repeat it.
Yeah.
And explain yourself, because, you know, not every company has is that clear in the way they describe themselves, and it's something that frustrates me.
Yeah.
But here's an opportunity to do that. Again, it's another piece. We've sort of beaten this drum again already, but it's another piece of content you can share on social networks. Also, you can spy on your competitors.
Yeah.
And see what they're up to. I mean, and then, of course, pilfer ideas from other people. There are other ones out there, apart from SlideShare, like Prezi.com. That's Prezi.
.com.
Screencast.com.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Screencast.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I mean, there's another one as well that's Scribd.
Right.
So it's S-C-R-B-D,
isn't it?
So it's not got the E in it. And that's, I think, started out for like more documents, so you can share like a PDF. But they also did PowerPoints. And I think for a period, probably about 18 months ago, it was kind of, some people would use Scribd, some people would use SlideShare. But it seems really to have tilted in SlideShare's favour for the presentations now.
Do you know this one? What is the one where you can animate that presentation and sort of talk over it, and then
Prezi's the one that's kind of, it's great for, it's like an animated, and you can zoom in on certain bits and then zoom out, and it looks like it's part of a bigger picture. I've tried to use it, and my god, it is complicated,
really.
And I've seen one or two people, because when you see someone use Prezi, you go, wow, that's absolutely fantastic, and then you go away and try and do one yourself, and it's like got, you know, typically like a real steep learning curve. But I think once you get it, it's not that difficult.
Right.
But I've seen one or two people turn up to conferences with Prezi presentations and then they'll just die.
Really?
And if you, this poor bloke, you know, you could tell, like, he did the first two bits of it. It was like, this is going to, because I love a good presentation. It's like, this is going to be amazing. And then it stalled and crashed.
Oh,
and
I was like,
then he had 35 minutes to talk after that.
Really?
With no, because, you know, and a lot of the students, we don't have notes. We just go, okay, what's on the slide?
What's on the screen,
And worst case scenario, people read what's on the slide, which is terrible. But, you know, for most of us, like, and I'm like this, is I kind of go, okay, in my head, that picture and that text triggers a train of thought, and then I can then talk from there. So it's all in your head, but I wouldn't necessarily be able to remember that sequence without those cues.
Yes, exactly.
And I think this is what this poor bloke did, but you know, it's like, well, he managed. It was quite a good talk in the end, but
I mean, I struggle with animation anyway on PowerPoint. I mean, you know, I'm rubbish. I mean, I use PowerPoint every week in social media training, and I was actually speaking next week at University of Westminster on the subject of creating YouTube virals and also podcasts again, beating the podcast drum.
But I mean, I actually was adding some kind of, you know, those slide in and stars from the side. I thought, oh, brilliant, this is going to look great. But I mean, I can just see myself pressing them too quickly or something like that, or them not working. And it's just like, obviously, I don't think you get the animation benefits on SlideShare. But what they're trying to do as well on SlideShare, just to finish off here, is they're trying to become more of a community for business people.
Yeah.
So last month they announced a thing called Zipcast, which is a web meeting service. Didn't read much into it, to be honest with you.
But an interesting thing that they're, you know, so almost it could be, and I think actually this is an interesting way, because it's like, well, if you wanted to take on LinkedIn,
yes,
you wouldn't want to be like LinkedIn, would you?
No.
So I think building the community around this presentations, which is such a big part of B2B, isn't it? That's a great way to build a community there, because everyone has to do it. It's a commonality, isn't it? There?
Yeah. I know why you made that segue there into LinkedIn, because you think of them as a business social network, but I always just see LinkedIn as a, good for you as an individual to get a new job, and good for recruiters. I don't, I mean, any attempts I've seen at trying to foster a community on LinkedIn, I've joined loads of groups and I've never really followed through, and they've sort of withered from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a topic in its own right, actually, about LinkedIn. Is, but yeah, you are right that it does seem to, it definitely has a reputation for the only time I actually check LinkedIn a lot, because the way I use it is to try and contact people who I perhaps don't have a, you know, say for interviewees, for the podcast, for people to, you know, approach to come to events I'm organising, that type of thing. It's quite useful from that point of view, and then you can see the connection. So it's like, oh, I know that company who's their SEO manager there, so I can then ask them if they want to come to Brighton SEO and that,
sure,
that type
sure
of thing. But my assumption always is, if I see someone's changed an element of their LinkedIn profile, it's like, oh, well, they're looking for a job then, you know?
So, yeah, they suddenly get a load of recommendations.
Yeah, it's like, well, they're clearly moving on, aren't they?
It's great for HR managers if you want a bit of espionage on your own staff, you know.
But
I think that's more or less it. SlideShare, more or less, great extra piece of you know, content promotion and thought leadership demonstration, and great for research, and as you've said, it's good for search in some terms. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan. I use it. I've had several hundreds of views on certain documents and thousands on others, and I don't know who they are. Just looked at them,
but it must, you know, but that exposure must be having some kind of benefit for the brand, mustn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I recommend everyone has a little look at it if you have those sort of presentations lying around.
Cool, fantastic.
All right.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.